Welcome to the Continually Better podcast. My name is Bryce Driver. I am your host, along with my lovely wife, Lexi Driver.
Hello, hello.
We're joined today by someone very special to me. That is George Sanchez.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello.
George, you know, we all used to be in youth group together. Why don't you give everybody a favorite memory of yours? I don't put you on the spot, but a favorite memory of when we were in Ignite Youth together, circa 2016.
Okay, so
that was 10 years
just
ago.
Just real quick, going on 10 years. The way it started is I started coming to church here because of Kelsey, because of Bryce. We were friends.
Yes. Ooh la la.
For those of you that don't know, Kelsey is George's wife.
She's my wife. She's at home. Can I say that?
Yeah,
she's okay. At home.
She's at home. She'll watch this later. Hopefully, make her proud.
You can say whatever you like.
So I started coming to church here, and this was towards my end of my senior year. And I just kind of just hopped in the youth group. I was the oldest one. Kelsey was probably one of the oldest ones, too. We had 10, 12.
Wasn't many. It's probably 15 tops.
Probably. Started being the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And started enjoying it. Sherry Reether was our youth leader.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
And we went on trips, things like that. I think one of my favorite ones was Reveal Conference when we went to Dallas.
You said Reveal.
Reveal.
It's Legacy.
No, Legacy.
Oh, what?
Legacy. 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 Remember coming to Carrollton?
Yes. It was. Okay. And
no, not yes. Legacy. Legendary.
Oh, goodness.
Legendary, guys.
Legendary
it's
conference.
Been almost 10 years. Yes.
Legendary okay. Conference.
Almost 10 years ago.
At Covenant Church in Carrollton.
Anyways.
So, going to those. And those were always fun.
Yes.
I think we had a smaller group and everybody just talked to each other. There was no clicks, no nothing, just the memories, camp, wrestling outside of DC camp.
Yes.
I think it was just a good group of people, good group of guys. Kind of crazy, but it was fun. Didn't know what to expect.
DC camp was crazy. That place shut down since then.
Yeah, I think COVID messed it up.
Yeah. Well, the water slide, I remember going to the top of it, and the water slide was super rusty and shaky up there. And like now, as an adult, I'm like, that place,
was
if there
was
an inspector out there, it was totally going to get shut down.
So,
whatever, so many codes are being broken.
We went to DC camp.
DC.
And I actually started meeting people from when we take our kids to camp in Alvin, for now camp.
Yeah.
Some people worked DC camp that are there.
Oh, wow.
And then I even told them, I said, we used to call it dirty camp.
Yeah, DC, we called it dirty camp.
DC, we always called it dirty camp.
I forgot about that.
And they laughed about it. They agreed about it.
There's sand everywhere.
But so, yeah, I just jumped in the youth group 2016. I think I was in there for 1-2 years.
Yeah.
And they had to kick me out. I was getting too old for it. And
well, you got out of DC camp or out of Ignite, and then you moved into our house. And so you just went from one to the other.
So moved in with the Drivers.
Yes.
Supposed to be 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be 6 months. Ended up being 3 years.
Ended up being 3 years. Then Bryce and I moved in together for a year. Then I moved to Jacksonville by myself for a year. Then I got married. Now I'm in the house where I'm at.
We lived in a tiny little rent house together in a shady neighborhood. So that was kind of crazy. We had some neighbors that were always outside fighting, and there's never any gunshots or anything, but from where I came from, it was a huge change. But anyway, you know, talking about the youth group, for those of you that don't know, George is the youth leader right now. Him and Kelsey are, along with Jaheim Upshaw, and they do a fantastic job. And I wish I had a picture of it, but they their youth group has grown tremendously. God is doing something awesome in that group. And he's doing an amazing job. I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud to call him my brother, for that matter. And, George, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey becoming the youth leader, kind of.
Yeah.
I know we were in the youth group. You came to church here. You moved in with us and became a part of our family. Tell us about how you kind of got it into being the youth leader.
Right after being in the sanctuary a couple months, started helping Crystal Lofton downstairs with the kids. Everybody that I have in the youth right now was part of that group when I started helping downstairs with Crystal Lofton.
I didn't even know that.
Crazy.
What age group? Like
was
fifth or seventh or something?
They were young.
Was it like Spark the Spark group?
Yeah, we were in
the
Life Center. Everybody's in the Life Center. I was helping Crystal and Kobe. We were, so everybody that I have in the youth group right now, Jaden, Brody, Kit, Tristan, all of them started downstairs in the Life Center. And did that for a couple of years. I think we took a break from that. Then we were just kind of helping out throughout the church. I was helping with Lots when Lots first started.
Yes. Oh, with the faders? Yeah. The little analog board?
It was a box that big. We're fading.
It had an input for each channel. And
Yeah. Every time Davey sang, I turned it up and I rose it back down. And
man, I forgot. It had the Sharpie marks on there.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing. Can you remember how hot those lights would get?
Yeah.
It
was nothing like it is now.
It was like a glowing flame up there. 10 glowing flames. Yeah, and we put the little gels in front of it. The red and the blue ones, on that ladder.
Those are actually still stored underneath the stage right now. We could grab.
You play guitar for a little while.
And you just change it. All it is, no color, nothing special. You just fade it in, fade it out. And then everybody's saying, started doing that for a little while. And then we got the actual color lights with the curtains. And then we were just trying to help out wherever we could.
Well, then you started playing guitar.
I started playing guitar. I was on the press.
That's when we were traveling in Nacogdoches.
Yep.
Yeah, so we used to go to a church. It was Covenant Church of Nacogdoches. We had like a little satellite campus, and me and Lexi and George and my mom and my dad would go over there every Sunday night for a long time. We cut our teeth on that as musicians, doing that every Sunday night. You'd like wake up from your Sunday nap super groggy. I remember just being so tired, and then hopping in the back of the Lincoln MKX.
4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. We would have to driving get there at 5.
Driving over to Nacogdoches, turning everything on, and playing on a little tiny Yamaha stand-up keyboard, and George had an acoustic guitar.
I learned how to play there.
That's when you learned how to
play? Brian Hill taught you how to play. Robert Hill on the drums.
Yep. I was sink or swim, and he just said, hey, you're on the stage with me.
You just got there and had to do it.
I just had to do it.
Had your big hair. George used to have a huge afro.
But you broke the ice with a crowd of like 5 to 15. Like sometimes it'd be 5 people. Yeah. Sometimes it'd get up to 15. That was a good number to
people see
to learn.
The church as it is now, and we're, you know, the church has got 450 people on a Sunday and another 400 on a Wednesday. And, you know, we're doing things like this podcast and putting up some songs we wrote and stuff. Things have changed dramatically in the last 5 years. In the last 10 years, it's like unrecognizable, I would say.
Anyways, sorry about that.
So back to it. Anyways, so we're just kind of praying about it. Then sometimes I'd get just ideas, just, hey, you need to go down there and help. You need help. And I was like, no, they got under control. Everything's good. And then one day, we were actually headed to one of Jaren's football games, and Kelsey and I got, you know, Brianne just came up to us. She's like, hey, would you like to help in the youth? And I was like, just kind of just laugh it off until just let it kind of go away. And she asked again, and then it came up. I was like, okay, are we going to do it? Prayed about it. And just like that, there's no preparation for it. We're
going
to trust you with teenage kids. And at that point, I was 25. I'm 28 now. I was 25. And there's no manual book for nothing. You just go for it.
Went out there and did it.
But August was 3 years. Kelsey and I we got married December of 22. Youth pastors at August 22. Started with 15 kids. I think 14, 15 kids. We introduced ourselves one Sunday. We were begging kids, or hey, just please go downstairs, please come downstairs with us, let us introduce ourselves, let us get to meet you, let us just, you know, see who you are.
Because there was a little bit of hesitancy by those kids, and you know, they wanted to, you want them to trust you, but y'all really had to, it's like a scared cat, y'all had to kind of go up there and try to say, hey, relax,
so give them some treats.
We had to beg kids, hey, just please go down there, please go down there. And which Jaheim, he's still part of the youth. He's one of our youth leaders.
Oh, it was downstairs, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
GPEC room. Downstairs. Yeah. We didn't have the expansion.
Not yet. Yeah. So Jaheim already knew him. They knew Jaheim, but just Kelsey and I were like, they don't know us. They just see us walking around. At that point, I wasn't really interacting with younger, you know, teenage kids. It was just, hey, I did my thing. I did the lots or praise team, and I just kind of did my role around the church. And then, so, you know, we came downstairs. We had 15. If we were lucky, we had 18 on a Wednesday. And that 18, we just teenage kids. I don't want to say kids. Teenage youth. I tell them I don't want to call them kids. It just happens. But they're youth. They're young adults.
Young adults.
They're not kids. They're young adults. And they're smarter than what they look. They will call you out.
They know when you're being real. They know when you're being
fake.
They
will call you out real quick. So if you're not all in, they will know, and they'll kind of just back off on you. So at that point on, you're like, okay, we have to be all in. I took us that until I move away, I'm going to just give it all I can. And so every time I step in the doors, every time I speak to one of the youth, and I do everything I can to, you know, bring them to God, show them what's right and wrong. And I try to do my best. Sometimes am I perfect? No. It's just one of those things. But slowly 18, went to 20, went to 25, went to 30. Within the first year, we were averaging 40 kids.
Wow.
40 youth. And that was still downstairs. And we're like, okay, we're building the new side of the upstairs or the expansion, and there'll be a room for youth, for the youth to go. They could see 100.
Yes.
So we're kind of fired about that. It's freshly new. I think we just moved into it 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. Still new. Still tell them, hey, don't break my chairs, don't break my wall, or I'm going to get in trouble for it.
Yes.
Don't stain the carpet.
Yeah. Right. No drinks in
that's
here.
That's a tough one. So now we're averaging 60 youth.
That's a lot.
60 youth.
When I saw 60, that photo of Paul, Pastor Jan, preaching to those kids and going in there and teaching the Pillars class, correct? Yeah. There was a huge crowd in there.
Yeah. It's a good group. It's a good group. And Kelsey and Jamie can tell you too. It was just one of those things where it just happens. And it's not us. And I don't want it to say, for anybody listening, watching, it's not what George, Kelsey, and Jaheim did. It's not what the church did. It's what God's doing.
Yeah, amen.
And a lot of the times, sometimes I struggle to see that. Sometimes I'm like, okay. Because I take things personal, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's going on or what. I was like, we got to give it to God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes numbers kind of fire you up a little bit. I'm like, yes. And a lot of it's like, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Right.
But in reality, it's what God's given you, what he could trust you with.
Yes.
And he is blessing this church. He is blessing the youth. We're growing, leading kids to God. And it's one of those things where I'm not the typical youth pastor. A lot of people don't know I'm the youth pastor if they see me. I was like outside. It's just because I'm just goofy.
Yeah.
Just try to be relatable. And I think that's just my way to just getting, you know, being able to talk to teenagers, being able to talk to the younger people, say, hey, I know what you're going through. I've been there, done it. This is my story. Let me just relate to you and bring you. It's one of those things where I used to say, you know, you could just come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say, yeah, you know, you got to meet them where they're at, but you can't leave them where they're at. You have to
100%.
Mom,
you have to bring
good.
Them.
Yeah.
You have to bring them. And for a little while, I was like, you know, I'm just going to be goofy, relatable, and hey, just come as you are. You're okay. But
you can't leave them there.
You can't leave them. You have to say, hey, now that you're here, let's try to go the right way.
No, the grace of God meets us where we are, but it doesn't leave us where we leave us in that place. Like when Jan was preaching the other day, and he played that video of that guy who was saying, like, you can sin 24 hours a day and still, like,
go to heaven.
Go to heaven or not. And I'm like, first of all, I don't really believe in that kind of theology. I think that's a little, kind of taking some scripture out of context, but that's neither here nor there. But whatever you believe, you've got to know that Jesus didn't come just to leave you where you are. Like, his grace empowers you to be sanctified and overcome those sins, because he who sins is bound by sin, and they're held down by those things. So it's good that you're telling those kids, like, yeah, I love you, and I want to have fun with y'all, but also, like, I don't want you to be stuck where you are. Because the truth of the matter is like, these kids are, they're like, you know, 75% of who they're going to be as an adult.
Right.
And we had to talk with our kids, not our kids, but our, you know, our...
Your kids,
younger,
actually.
Yeah, they're your kids, are the younger members of our music team. We don't do a youth band and a, you know...
Covenant worship band.
It's just all one. You got, like, they're kind of like junior members. But we still hold them to a high standard. And I was telling them, like, you guys are pretty much who you're going to be as adults right now.
Yeah.
Unless you make some changes. Like, if you kind of buy into, you know, continually better, or as the Bible would say it, if you let God sanctify you, then there's going to be some changes. Otherwise, you're just going to be pretty much exactly like you are, except with a mortgage and some and a credit card. And that can be very dangerous. And so, like, it's super important that you're not just taking these kids like, oh, it's, you know, they're just kids. It's whatever. You're saying, like, hey, I want you to be better. I want you to be upstanding. I want you to have character. I want you to have a deeply rooted faith in Jesus Christ and in His Word and all those things. So, yeah, it's super important that you're doing that, because these kids are just a very short period. You know, let's say they're 16. 2 years goes by like that before they're in college, and then they're going to some professor, some liberal ideology professor who's telling them all kinds of, you know, terrible things and trying to deconstruct their faith. And if they don't have something strong to stand on, that shakes a lot of people.
Yeah. Another way that I would look at it too is, like, if we were to say, all right, you've encountered Christ and that's all that there is for you, like, what hope is that, you know? Yeah. And I can remember, you know, I don't feel like it was that long ago whenever we were youth kids. Yeah. And I can remember being like, what is my purpose? Well, maybe you don't know what your life's going to look like 10 years from now, but you're able to tell them, like, I do know what you can do right now. And that is, you know, identify the sin in your life. Mm-hmm. Let's fix this area. And so that's just really important for them to have that purpose, that hope in Christ.
Yeah, just put them on a firm foundation. So you've been doing it for a few years, and you're kind of finding your way with them. Did you ever think you were going to kind of step into this path? Because I know you move into our house, and it's like everybody's a preacher, you know. All the grandparents were, and then Dad didn't want to, but, like, you can't run away from God's calling. I wonder if that kind of, when you moved into our house, God said, like, He's going to be a youth pastor.
Never would have thought it. Never would I. If you ask me in high school, you ask me. 5 years, even if you asked me 4 years ago or the month before we actually jumped in, hey, you, it's like, no, and, you know.
No chance.
No, I was like, no, I like to just, you know, be chill, just kind of just hang out. I don't want to, you know, I never thought I'd be speaking in front of youth or, or, you know, taking them to camp. I did that. I was fun. I probably scared myself too because of the way I was growing up. And I was like, I don't know if I want to deal with more of me, because I know the way I was in a youth group or, you know, as growing up. So I was like, oh, listen. So
you were hard on people. So you're like, I'm going to be terrible at
this.
Yeah,
like, I knew.
I know how these kids, I know how I treated my teachers. So
yeah, I knew that. But no, I never thought I'd be doing this. And I think looking back at everything now, I could definitely see the way God lined everything up.
Yeah.
And it's not just out of accident. It wasn't just out of, oh, there's a spot opening. Here you go, George. We're just going to lob it up to
you. No, he knew the end from the beginning.
Yeah, he knew everything he had for us. And I'd do this all over again. I do enjoy it. It is. And I tell Kelsey all the time, I say, hey, the wins are for them. I'll take the losses. I'll take it. Now we need to figure out how we can move on. Even though that I struggle with taking everything personal and being perfect, I love what I'm doing. I do love it. Told them at work, I said, hey, that's my first passion. This is what's, you know, takes my priority right now.
Right. And, never thought I'd be doing it. One pays the bills, the other one's like what you enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel you on that.
I do enjoy it. Not what I thought I'd be doing growing up, but now that I'm doing it, I was like, this is where I'm meant to be.
Right. You've always had a way of connecting with people as long as I've known you. And, you know, those kids will, like you said, they'll sniff out what's real and what's fake. And you're the real McCoy, and so those kids can pick that out. But if I tried to go out there and connect with them like that, it just wouldn't work. God knew what he was doing. And we get shocked when I told someone this the other day, like, they prayed for something, and God answered their prayer with a yes. You know, sometimes the answer is no. He pretty much always answers. This answer was a yes. And we were all, like, shocked. I'm like, why are we so shocked? And then when Bree preached Wednesday about stop being a beggar and know that these are the things God's paid the price for, he said he's done these for you, believe in him, believe in these things, and we get surprised whenever he answers our prayers. And then we're surprised whenever he orders our steps, when all the scriptures say that, you know, he orders the steps of those who believe in him. And, you know, we get surprised whenever what he says he's going to do, he does it, even though he's never failed once. And that's a flaw in us. But so something else I wanted to ask you about, like, you get to see these kids personally, and you're talking to them, you know, throughout the week. You meet with them twice a week. I know the world that I grew up in, like, social media was popular, but it wasn't everything. Like, now, it's everywhere, all the time, yeah. Everything. And so that changes things. What has changed from when we were kids, even though it wasn't that long ago, mm-hmm. to what kids are dealing with now? Like, give people a kind of a look into, you're seeing it firsthand with these kids. What are they dealing with that, you know, me and you might have not dealt with? Definitely their parents didn't deal with, mm-hmm. or for the grandparents that are raising, you know, their grandchildren. What's going on in their world that they never had to deal with?
Funny, we had a couple Sundays ago, we had a lesson, and then COVID came up during the lesson, because, like, hey, and then when COVID hit, I was 21, 22, in a job. I was working, trying to figure, you know, bills, life out. Like, hey, you know, how old were y'all during COVID? And then we had one girl say, I got kicked out of second grade. So I was like, okay, grade. I'm a lot older than what I thought I am.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
So I was like, okay. I was like, all right. And I don't want to say COVID messed it up by just social distancing, phones, everything's on your phone, the way you order food, the way you could, you know, order your groceries, the way you talk to people, the way I don't want to say it's because of COVID. I think it's just one of those things this world goes and the way it transitions to technology. One thing that I do see that's different is the way they interact.
Yeah.
Was one with one another, meeting someone new. Sometimes I have to, like, force two of them together. Say, hey, come here. Hey, this is so-and-so. Hey, this is so-and-so. They just look at each other and just say, hey. I was like, shake their hand. Okay. I was like, shake their hand. And they just throw one of these up. I was like, look them in the eye. Shake their hand. You're good. I was like, hey, it's good. It's good. That's good. It's just the way they interact with each other.
Mm. And they're, like, a little more standoffish, or?
They're just in person. It's like they're shy, but they're blowing each other's phones up, texting. Oh, yeah. But then I was like, when it comes to person, they're just sitting next to each other, not talking.
Yeah.
Good thing is we're slowly breaking out of that where we are. There's no one group here, one group there, two groups. I think we're in a great spot where we are, where everybody can talk to everybody in the youth Good. Group. Everybody just interacts. Everybody knows each other. We do get a few new youth kids. And sometimes I worry that
when the new ones come in, are they all the same way? Like they're just
a little bit just low key, sit in the back. And sometimes I know them just from Sunday, or I know their parents. And so I just, you know, you got to make sure you know their name. And that's one of the biggest things is I try to, it's hard because we're growing. You're looking at averaging 60 kids, 65. Eventually we're going to hit 100. And it's just, you have to know their name.
You're going to need some flashcards.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I make sure that I go out of my way, and I try to talk to as many as I can. And it's hard. Jaheim does too. Kelsey does. And not just because sometimes we get used to just talking to, I'm not going to say favorites, it's just the ones you see a lot, the family ones. Like Brody. I always talk to Brody because he's family. And I was like, hey, I don't want to be mean to him to go out of my, let me just go talk to them real quick.
Go introduce myself to some people.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, he doesn't want to talk to us anymore. I was like, no. So, hey, we just got to grow. I think one thing that's kind of big that they're struggling with right now is knowing who they are outside of their friend group, outside of school, outside of their parents. Just, they need to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone doesn't show up to class, or someone, their friend's not doing this, it's just, it changes who they are at that moment. And I was like, hey, they're acting different.
Yeah.
It's because so-and-so's not here. I was like,
okay. Yeah, they got like a little bit of a codependency. Yeah. Like they kind of become, I know I've seen that before. I don't really say that. I had a few of those friends in school where, like, you hang out with one guy for a couple of years and then he moves off, or hang out with another guy, and you kind of like you start sharing each other's personality traits, you know? When you moved in, I started saying certain words like bouta or got, like you, the way you talk, mom said, when did you start saying that? I'm like, saying what? And we all started sounding like you. Those are fun memories.
That's how it is. It's just there's not a bad youth kid in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say we have the best youth in the world.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And I will stand on it. And I told them, I said, hey, I'll fight for you. If you fight for me, I got your back. If you got my back.
I love it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was like, hey, I just can't have your back. If you're going to go out here lie to me, then yes. I get slapped. And I was like, hey.
I love how you talk to those kids.
But I just told them, that's just one of those deals. Like, hey, I got your back. I was like, yeah. Just help me out. If you could just help me out, I'll help you out. It'll be, just go easy. Just go easy. But that's just one thing that's kind of big right now is just knowing who they are. Again, right. Knowing their purpose. Knowing who they're meant to be. And the crazy part is when we start talking about Bible stories or you start reading the Bible, they don't know. A lot of the times I ask before, I say, hey, who knows the story of Lazarus? And only 5 staff kids raise their hand and the other ones don't know. And then when you do tell them, it sounds so made believe.
Oh, like they don't believe the story?
Like they don't believe the story because it's like, hey, we didn't, you know, because they don't know because they just never knew. I feel like for them, the Bible is just this fairy tale book, yeah. And it's hard to just say, hey, this is real. This book is the truth. This book is the way you live a good life. It's the way to heaven. And they just, it's just hard to say, hey, this is real stuff we're telling you about.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I love is like when I've heard you speak a few times, how relatable you make the Bible stories sound. Like you're like, man, there was this man named Lazarus and he was Jesus's friend. And I don't know, you're able to, I don't want to say dumb down because that's really not the right word, but you can just make it relatable to the kids.
Like a modern translation, basically.
Also to us. I'm like, man, I would love for there to be a King George translation.
That's more for me. And here's the thing, I'm gonna be vulnerable for a little bit. I'm looking at the cameras. I can't read that good. I can't read that good. So what I do is if I know I'm gonna have to say a story in the Bible, again, I try to make quick bullet points of what I'm gonna say and then just go off of that because if I sit there and read
memorize the story.
I'm gonna have to stutter. I'm not gonna have to. I will stutter. I will start messing stuff up, I'll start drawing blanks, I'll start reading slow, I'll mess up. I'll start skipping lines.
Well, just know that we cannot tell. So whatever you're doing, it works.
I put my headphones on, and then I just hit the Bible, just hit play on the Bible, and just listen to that story 24/7 until I memorize it. And then I say, okay, I won't have to read it. I could just tell them, hey, open up this book and chapter, and then after that, I could just wing it on my own. So most of that's for me, and it's just the way I talk.
It works so
good. It really works very well.
It's the way I am, but...
You know, they're struggling with identity and they're living in a world that we didn't grow up in. And, you know, your developmental years, like that crucial period, like 10, probably to like 15, that's a lot happens in that period. Mm-hmm. You know, the first 5 years of your life, you're growing mentally, but you're like not even aware that you're alive. But between 10 and 15, a lot's happening. Those kids, they left for spring break. I think COVID happened during spring break and they never came back until... It was like a whole year or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that really wrecked them. What can the parents do? You know, you're doing something here every week, helping them to branch out, helping them to get to know people, helping them to be comfortable in their own skin, not relying on their friend to, you know, decide who they're going to be. What can these parents do at home? What would you tell them to help out?
Man, that's a tough one. It's a tough one because I'm not a parent.
Right.
And I see them away from their parents. I see them at church. I see the way they are with other youth. I see them at camp. I see them at conference. And it's night and day.
Mm-hmm.
The way they are during prison worship on a Wednesday in front of everybody is not the same group that we see when we go to camp. It's not the same group. And it's just, I think, again, it's just shyness.
What's different about it?
I just think it's just being in front of parents, it's like, and a lot of the times if they go up to pray and we ask them, well, hey, why don't you go up there and pray during Sunday or during, you know, Wednesday? It's because they're probably embarrassed to say, hey, I'm actually struggling with this without the parent knowing.
So let me ask this really question.
That hurts my feelings.
Is there even a night and day difference from when they're in the sanctuary in front of everybody versus when they're in the youth room? Like, is there a night and day difference there?
Yeah.
You would say?
Yeah. And it's nothing like it's, the music, it's not the teaching, it's just they feel like they're just kind of locked in next to the parents, because it, me, just what I kind of grew up in, and pride being a huge deal in my life, or I've had to learn, hey, you got to get over that stuff. Is, yeah. Family stuff. I let pride get in the way of that. And I was like, I don't want my friends to see what's really going on at home, mm-hmm. or they won't be my friends, or they'll right. judge me, or they'll. So I think a lot of that stuff, from what I could think of, is, hey, they don't want to go up and pray while their parents are in the sanctuary with them, because they don't probably want to bring embarrassment to them or to their family, or like, oh, what's actually going on, or what's going on.
You're struggling with something really personal. Yeah. And someone asks you, what can I pray for? And you're like, I don't want to tell you. I'm
yeah, because like, then you're like, then you, but it's, if I could just tell the parents anything, and I'm not a parent, so you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to, but just take it.
Blame it on us, but, we asked.
But I would just say, love your kids. You have to love them. You have to just hug them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you care for them. Eat dinner at the table.
Yes, come on. That's a big
deal. Eat dinner at the table. Eat. Hey, put the phones up. Put mm-hmm. the, and men to boys to young adults, because, and I tell them, I said, the decisions you make today is who you are tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
And it's one of those deals where, like, you have the men in the home as a leader need to just tell their young boys, say, hey, this is the way you act. This is mm-hmm. what you do. And I didn't know that much growing up, just the way it kind of worked. And, so now I'm just, okay, I'm doing everything that I can now that I know what's right and wrong.
Right.
To do what's right. But it's one of those things where even the youth guys in the group's like, hey, go open the door. I said, hey, yeah. go help them. If you see someone struggling, or if you see right. trash on the floor, don't wait for me to tell you. Say, yeah. you just go in and just do it. You do it. But just, yeah, parents, love your kids. Tell them you love them. Face-to-face interactions. Even if you're tired at home, just make a little time, and it's going to be a huge deal. And start it young. Start yeah. it young to where it's normal for them to be open about how they're feeling, about what's going on. Even, again, for me, and this is how it is relatable, because I seen it, and it's one of those things where you couldn't show your feelings.
Yeah,
I couldn't show my feelings growing up, and that's just a guy
thing. It's like stoic to the max.
Yeah, it's just a guy thing. Never seen my dad cry until I was a grown adult. I mean, I was already graduating high school, and something happened, and it's when I saw him cry for the first time. I was like, the dude that I thought that was so tough, yeah. the guy that could do, and he really can do anything.
Yeah.
I tell him, I was like, this is crazy. Right. I've never seen this. I never experienced this, and I never knew what. So it's one of those things, like, it's okay. As an adult, tell your kids, hey, it's all right. It's okay you feel this way. And it's not one of those things like, and don't be one of those people that say, hey, you won't get in trouble if you tell me what you did.
Yeah.
And then they tell you, and then you lie to them, say, hey. And then you get on to them for doing it. You're like, hey, it's just a learning deal. And I tell you, I say, hey, we're done. Yesterday's yesterday. We got to move on. Right. We're not going to keep living it. We're not going to, we just nip it in the butt and we move forward with whatever it is. If it's a little thing, or even if it's a big thing, you're like, hey, we're learning from it. We just got to nip right. it in the butt, and we got to move forward.
Yeah, there's still going to be some consequences, but
yeah.
we're going to handle it versus just letting a wound. If you have a splinter or something, it's better to get that thing out of there, clean it, and it's gonna hurt. And there's still a cut there, but you know, if you just cover these things up and bury them deep down, that's gonna just cause all kinds of trouble, and it causes just long term damage. And so it's good that you're helping these kids address those things, and I hope that some parents take that into account and apply it where they can. George, I want to thank you for meeting us today. For all of you that are listening at home or wherever you are, I want to thank you guys for watching. We look forward to having a lot more of these episodes. I know me and Lexi are very excited to do a lot of these, so thank you all for watching.